Such a peaceful, calm walk-up song, right? So a little different than what we've been experiencing at two kids in T-ball right now. So I've been trying to introduce them to really good walk-up songs. And so in our car, we have been blasting on the way to T-ball. We got Thunderstruck, little AC/DC going on. And then, of course, if you remember, Mariano Rivera would come out to Enter Sandman by Metallica. So we've been rocking out to that. So if I'm not an elder after this, that's why, because playing that kind of music for my kiddos. So my name is Robbie Main, and I am a member here, an elder here at Grace. I have been here for well over 20 years at Grace when I moved here after college at LSU. And I'm just excited to be here. I love this church. I love opportunities to get to serve at this church. We serve in kids ministry here with Grace Kids. If you don't do that, you should come join us in Grace Kids. It's a blast. We also lead a community group here at this church. And a few months ago, Mike asked if I would be willing to preach at some point, just to kind of help speak into our church and just have different voices do that. And so I said that would be awesome. And so that's why I'm here to do this. And before I even go any further, I just want to, I think on behalf of the elders and hopefully on behalf of our church, we're just so grateful that God brought the Tropeas here to this church. When I came on to be an elder, it was very shortly after that our previous pastor, Danny, had decided to move on to Sky Ranch and thus began the search for UB's next pastor. We had no idea how long that would take. We had no idea who he would bring here. But he brought Mike Tropea and his wonderful family here, and I could not be more thrilled for what he's doing for our church, how he's investing in all the different just avenues here. And so we love Mike, so you can pay me later for saying that. Yeah, you got it now? Okay, perfect, man. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. No, he's awesome. We love it. So let me pray, and we'll get jumping in here to the text. God, thank you for today. God, I pray that you would help me just communicate your message clearly here today. God, that as we study your word, that it would jump off the pages and it would just infiltrate our hearts, that we would be encouraged, challenged, whatever it is that we need today. God, that you would do that. Lord, help me to say no more and no less than what you once said here today. Just grateful for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I do want to show y'all a picture of my family here. Got that right there. There is my beautiful family. And we have my wife, Mallory. We met through Pine Cove years ago is where we met. We've been married just hit 9 years. So next March, March 7th, will be 10 years, which is awesome. And so during this past just over 9 years, we've had three kiddos. Right there, that my daughter is Layton. She is 7 years old. She is right there, and she is so beautiful, sitting with her grandpa right there. Our G, that's my wife's dad right there, who came in town. She's an awesome little girl. She is smart. She has a piano recital today. It's awesome. And then she'll be 8 years old 2 Sundays from now. So on May 19th, if you see her in 2 Sundays, tell her happy birthday. She is smart. She's fun. She's goofy. She has two little brothers that she gets to hang out with. The one down at the bottom is Miller. He's our second child. He is freakishly strong for Miller. He is wild, and he's slightly dangerous at times, but he is awesome. I don't know what that face is he's making down there. And then we have Maddox. He's our baby. He is 4 years old. I believe he would want you to know that he is super fast. He is super fast. And if you ever need a hug, that is the boy to give you a hug. Man, he cuddles and he hugs, and it is just the absolute best. And so that's my family. That's why I do what I do, and just love them so, so much. So when I think back, and I think about myself with clothing, I've never been much of a big fashion guy. Just never been something I've really kind of gone into, jumped into most of my adult life. You could find most of my clothes at Kohl's probably. Just bargain shopping there. Maybe I splurged and went to Target, perhaps, but not very wild in my clothes. But I do look back over times, and I've had some, you know, some different outfits or things that I've done, whether it was to maybe try to be something maybe that I wasn't, or maybe to celebrate a certain maybe event or something going on in my life. When I think back to being a kid in South Louisiana, growing up, I loved The Lone Ranger. It was a TV show, if you remember The Lone Ranger. So I had a pretty sweet Lone Ranger get up. My brother had the Tonto outfit, and we would run around the backyard in Lafayette, had those little cap guns, and we would just run around trying to shoot each other. And my dad had that big video camera back in the day on his shoulder videoing this. And I would just be crying because my brother wouldn't fall down because I shot him running around. But I wanted to be the Lone Ranger. Fast forward a little bit to junior high. As you can see, I don't have much of a basketball body here. But I thought, hey, in junior high, there was a guy that I love, especially since I went to LSU, Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq. And his Reebok pumps came out. And so I thought, maybe if I got those shoes, then, yeah, somehow I convinced my parents to do that. I have no idea because my mom was like the coupon queen. We were so frugal. But they bought them and did not make the team. I don't think they even invited me to be the manager. I think it was like, just avoid us would be great. And so that happened there in high school. If you saw me in high school, it was khaki shorts and a golf shirt because I was a golfer. About a decade of my life was invested in golf, and that's how you could see me. When I went to LSU, basically just LSU shirts all the time. There was one time for a game against Tennessee, my best friend Juan and I went to Michael's, because that's what dudes do in college. You go to Michael's and you buy purple and gold plaid material and you make kilts for a football game. And so we did that for LSU Tennessee my senior year. We had a picture up in the athletic department at one point of us dressed up in these kilts, because I so badly wanted to beat Tennessee, and we did. It was awesome, overtime. And then, you know, adult life is Kohl's, that stuff. Then get to be, the day I'm going to get married, right? And so, and actually, it wasn't long after we got engaged. It might have been an hour after we got engaged that my wife looked at me and said, hey, maybe it's time to do something different, like with your wardrobe and with your hair. Very quickly found Hair Headquarters here in Tyler, Pebbles. If anybody goes to Pebbles at Hair Headquarters, she's awesome. And so kind of changed my wardrobe. You know, for my wedding day, I had a nice haircut. I had a wonderful suit on because that was my wedding day. And then I think to another super important day of my life, and that was the day that my daughter was born, May 19th. Of 2016, as when Layton came into this world. And so whenever there's a, if I'm ever nervous or like there's a big something going on, I can get kind of, my wife says, overly chatty and talkative. And so a lot of times I might need something to focus my energy on. And so I was like, what could I do for this birth that would be kind of fun or goofy and maybe help me out and just get me through this day? Because this day was going to change my life, right? I was never going to be the same after this day. And so I got online, and I bought a quarterback armband. This is the actual quarterback armband I wore. And so I was like, what can I do with this? This would be kind of fun. So on the outside, I wrote everything that I needed to bring to the hospital when that moment came. So I have on here, you know, Mallory. That was pretty important to make sure I have her. We had our to-go bag. You know, I needed to make sure I called her parents. So this was just a big checklist of all those things I needed to do. Had it on, we were good to go. Now, on the inside, when you open it up, it was a list of things to say or to do, and then on the bottom, it was a list of things to not say or not do. Probably the more important were those right down there, right? So, on the things to say or not to, or to say or to do, I love you. That's deep right there. I love you. Had that on there. On there, I had maybe to kiss her forehead, perhaps, if it was getting tough, maybe to kiss her forehead. You know, just tell her, hey, you are beautiful. I believe in you. Those things. Now, down on the bottom, the things not to do or not to say here, it can't be that bad. That was one of those things on there. Maybe it got a little bit intense, you know. I had knee surgery at one point in my life, so I had on here, don't talk to her about my knee surgery, as if I could identify with her in some way what's going on. So this was my deal that I was able to put on to help me get through that day, because that day, the day that my daughter was born, my life was going to change forever. I was going to have a new identity. I was going to be a father to a beautiful little girl and eventually two other kids. But I put something on just to remind myself that this was going to be a crazy day, a day where my identity was going to change. And so we're going to look at a text here today in Galatians 3, if you have your Bible. We're going to be in Galatians 3, verse 25, and we're going to go through chapter 4, verse 7. And Paul is going to talk to us about a progression in our lives of how we go from one identity which is going to be enslaved under the law, and how he's going to bring us to being adopted as sons, and then to be established as an heir of his. And so I'm going to read through this text here, starting in verse 25. It says, "But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus you are all were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." So we're first going to talk about this idea of being enslaved under the law. Enslaved under the law. You know, Paul, a few times in this passage, talks about kind of that standing, and he refers to it as being under a guardian. In verse 25, it says, "But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian." So before faith came, we were under a guardian. He talks about it in the context of like a child and a slave. A little bit later on in chapter 4, verse 2, once again brings under this idea of under guardians and managers. And so, but we have to think, and he also then talks about what it looks like to be living under the law in verse 5, because verse 5 says to redeem those who were under the law. So I want to talk about what is that law? What are we under? What were we under? And to do that, we need to go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1. And Deuteronomy 5, verse 1 says this, "And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, 'Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the rules that I am speaking in your hearing today, and you shall learn them and be careful to do them.'" Then we jump to verse 28. "And the Lord heard your words when you spoke to me. And the Lord said to me, 'I have heard the words of this people, which they have spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart as this always, to fear me and to keep all my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their descendants forever. Go and say to them, return to your tents, but you stand here by me, and I will tell you the whole commandment and the statutes and the rules that you shall teach them, that they may do them in the land that I am giving them to possess. You shall be careful, therefore, to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the way that your Lord God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that you shall possess." So this idea of living under the law that we're living under, this Mosaic law, these commands that God had given his people, right? And delivered them, these commandments and about don't do this or do that. And so he's called us to live under that law. In the same way he talks about a child or, you know, a slave being underneath a guardian or a master. You know, that day that Layton was born, when my life changed forever, there was this overwhelming sense of responsibility that I now had for Layton that I didn't have before. And she was going to be precious and fragile in this world. And so I needed to give her some boundaries and parameters for her life, right? And as she's grown up, maybe we've had to give her a bedtime and do these different things. And so she has been living under my guardianship and Mallory's guardianship. And in the same way, that's what the law was there for. We were to live under the law. And it was going to be a good guardian for us. You know, basically, hey, if you do these things, it's going to go well with you. You're more than likely going to have a good life. You're going to have a good society. People will treat each other well. So if you do these things, more than likely, things will go well. But what we know about the law is the law was never intended to save us, right? The law was never intended to do that. It was to be a guardian, to be a good benchmark for what we should strive for and strive to, but it was never going to save us. And what eventually living under the law does is you eventually fall bondage to it. Because there's not enough good that I'm ever going to be able to do, right? There's not enough good that you're ever going to be able to do. There's not a situation where our good is going to so far outweigh our bad that then God's going to say, yep, you got it, you nailed it. So we're now under these elementary principles of this world, basically a hamster on a wheel, just spinning round and round, and we are under bondage to that. And no matter how hard we try, no matter what we do, we are unable to save ourselves from that trap, from being in bondage to sin. But thank goodness, right, that God doesn't just leave us there. God just doesn't leave us there. And eventually, he's going to come and to adopt people as his sons and daughters. And one of the first things I want us to think about when it comes to adoption, of going to be adopted as a son, is that it's all on God's timing. It has nothing to do with our timing. It has all to do about his. And said in verse 2 in chapter 4, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. And then in verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, what did God do? He sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to come with us, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. First thing with adoption, it has everything to do about God and his timing. I have a wonderful mom. She is awesome. She's in Amsterdam right now, because why not? Let's go to Amsterdam. My dad wanted to see the tulips. If you know about the tulip Amsterdam, the tulips of Amsterdam, they're there now, seeing these tulips. So my mom, born March 23rd, 1952, in New Orleans, Louisiana. She was born to a teenage girl, and that teenage girl and that teenage boy decided that they were not able to take care of my mom, and they gave her up for various reasons for adoption. And so she was in the Methodist Children's Home in New Orleans, Louisiana in 1952. And there my precious, dear, sweet mom, less than a year old, is there at this children's home. There is nothing that she could do to speed up her adoption. She was helpless to get anybody there to adopt her. No matter what she did, no matter how much she smiled or cried, it was not up to her. Now, on the flip side of that, there was this guy, Ed Simon, and this woman, Adeline Simon, who I call my mama and pawpaw. And they had been trying to have kids. They were not able to do that. And so they began to put their names and apply to different adoption agencies. And they applied to this one Methodist children's home in New Orleans, Louisiana. And the one thing that this couple had put on, the birth mom had put on there, was they wanted my mom to be adopted by a Lutheran family. That was the one thing. It just so happened that Ed and Adeline were a Lutheran family. And so in 1952, my mom got to be adopted. She was completely helpless. She was there waiting for someone to adopt her. And thankfully, a wonderful man and a wonderful woman came and did that. We actually, my daughter Layton, her middle name is Adeline, because of my grandma, the sweetest lady I ever knew in my life. She was awesome. And so adoption has nothing to do about what we're able to do or muster up. It's not about us maybe making ourselves worthy to be adopted. It has everything to do with God and his timing and his goodness coming down. And when you look at the time period of when God sent Jesus, a lot of the things have been lining up to make it that time for it to happen. You know, there's a lot of prophecy pointing to that point in history. The Pax Romana, this period of like 200 years, was well and thriving there. You had a lot of commerce and a lot of travel, so there's a lot of connectedness within that society where people could travel to maybe deliver a message. You had a pervasive Greek language where that message could be translated or at least heard by many people. And the pagan worship that was going on at that time was out of control. And so there was a lot of things that were right and ripe for God to send Jesus. And so when God saw that it was time, when the fullness of time had come, God sent Jesus to live under the law with us. That law that we were in bondage to, that law that we could do nothing to break. Jesus came down into the muck, into the mess with us, and he saved us. And it talks about how it says we were, when we were baptized into Christ, This is not talking about like a water baptism here. This is about being immersed in Christ, being truly saved. And it says, and then when you're baptized into Christ and when you put on Christ. When you put on Christ. You know, in that time, when it came to like a child growing up to be a man, in that time period, most likely there was an old toga that was taken off and a new toga was put on that child to symbolize that they are now a man. In that same way, it is God, it is Jesus that clothes us, that puts on his clothes, his righteousness, his grace onto us that we might be saved. You know, where at one point in my life, I was trying to wear Shaquille O'Neal shoes to play basketball or putting on a certain outfit, like the Lone Ranger costume to be a certain thing. It has nothing to do with me and what I put on. It has everything to do with what Christ put on me. He gave me his righteousness. He reached down into the muck and the mire and pulled me out. And one of the things I love about adoption and salvation is that God didn't just save us, right? This is not us drowning in a pool. God picks us up out of the pool and sets us on the side, pats us on the back and says, peace out. No, he reaches down, he pulls us out of the pool while we're drowning, sets us up on the side, watches over us and says, hey, I'm going to go a step further here. And I want you to be my son. I want you to be my child. Where I would have been plenty happy to be saved from the drowning pool, for him to leave, and thank you, got it. But that one, you want me to be your son? Like to where I can call you Abba Father, as it talks about here in chapter 4? To where I can have unhindered access to the God of the universe? You know, that's the thing with my kids. For Layton, for Miller and Maddox, they can come to me at any time. They can come to me at any time and ask me for anything because I am their dad. And I would love to do nothing more than give them everything I possibly can. And I would choose them, maybe my kids, over and over every night before bed. And I think I shared this the last time I preached, but I think it's so applicable now. With my daughter, Layton, I go in there, we do our prayers and all that kind of stuff, goof off. And then I always tell her, if I could pick any girl in the whole world to be my daughter, do you know who I would choose? And she says, me. And I say, how many times? And she says, every time. And I say, every, and I give her a kiss, single, give her a kiss, time, give her a kiss. I'm sure she's loving that I'm telling the story right now. But it's true, every time I would pick that girl to be my daughter. And that's the way that God loves us as his child. He has clothed us and put on his righteousness on us, we are his. And we no longer have to worry about not having a home, but we are his adopted sons. Such a beautiful picture. But he goes even further, right? Because God just has to keep outdoing himself and giving more and more. So we go from being enslaved under the law to being adopted as sons, and he eventually raises us up as an heir. He raises us up as an heir. And I think most of us can understand the idea of being an heir. Maybe some of y'all have been an heir at some point. You know, typically maybe a mom or dad passes away or some guardian, and because of a death, then someone else might inherit something, whether it's money, whether it's a car, a house. A lot of times you might inherit someone's debts too, right? You're going to inherit something. You're going to be an heir. And we understand that the idea of being heir. There's death and you inherit something. But what I love about inheritance in the world, in the kingdom of God here, is our inheritance happens when we have life. When he puts Christ on us and we get his righteousness and he saves us, that is when we get in the inheritance, not a death, but in life. And so this inheritance that we're talking about with God is not just about stuff, right? Now, there are going to be a lot of blessings I do think that we get to experience. Not necessarily talking about physical money or things like that, but blessings throughout our life as we go when we are in Christ. But the inheritance that we get from Christ is not the things of Christ. It's not the stuff that gives us. The inheritance is Christ. The inheritance is God himself. You know, when I think about inheritance in this way, and I think about being a kid, and I don't know what kind of upbringing we all had, the relationships you had with your parents. But when I think through my life, let's say at the age of 10, 10-year-old Robbie, and you would say, hey, Robbie, you know, you could have anything that you want. You know, you have a life full of houses and cars. You could have boiled crawfish whenever you want to. Good old South Louisiana boy here. LSU could win every national championship and everything, right? You could have all these things and have the most just spoiled, rotten life ever. But you know that dad of yours, Charlie? Can't have him. You get all the stuff, the cars, sports, championships, money, food, whatever you want. But you don't get that dad that you love. He's gone. You know what 10-year-old Robbie would say every time? Give me my dad. And like I said, I don't know what kind of dad you have. But I know what kind of dad I have in the God of this universe. It's a dad who's never going to leave me, never going to forsake me. So the inheritance that we have been given here, because we're in the line of Abraham, is we get God himself. We get Christ himself. And that's a beautiful thing, because we know, guys, that this world is tough, right? This world is full of hurt. This world is full of just pain, full of sin. And we need a Father who loves us, that, man, when we are walking through these things, that stuff is not going to help me. You know what's going to help me? Him. The car, it's not going to help me. It's going to be God walking side by side with me each and every day. Paul says in Galatians 3:29, if you belong to Christ and you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Ephesians 2:6-7, you raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness in Christ Jesus. In Romans 8:17, the Apostle Paul says, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if we indeed share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. You know, there's that wonderful musical Annie, right? If you've seen Annie, hopefully you have. If you haven't, wonderful musical. But this little girl coming from a broken, awful orphanage ends up in the Warbucks mansion. It's an incredible change for her. She leaves behind a spiteful, alcoholic caretaker and enters a relationship with a caring father. I mean, it took Warbucks time, right? But eventually, this caring father. She goes from having no possessions to having a fortune at her disposal. Her hard knock life is overcome by the brightness of a sunny tomorrow. And that's what God has done for us. He has taken a broken, dark past and he's given us a bright future, a bright present with him, because we have an Abba Father who is there for us every step of the way. So in closing, I want us to remember two things as we walk out of here. Two things for us as we walk out of here. First off, I do want you to remember that you were a slave under the law. And you might be thinking, why would I want to remember that? If I was a slave under the law, why would you want me to remember that? Because I think it's good for us to remember that. Not to wallow in shame or pity or remorse for those things that you've done, but I think it's really good for us to remember where we were, to see where God has brought us to, right? You know, John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, had Deuteronomy 15:15 there in his house in the wall. And Deuteronomy 15:15 says, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeems you. Therefore, I command you this today. You were a slave, but remember that it was God who redeemed you. And then secondly, remember, live as the adopted son that you are. Live as the adopted son, daughter, child of God that you are. One of the great things when I think about being an adopted son is, and even as the scripture talks about, is you have your place in eternity sure. When you are a son of God or a daughter of God, your place in eternity is set and secure, and you should be grateful for that. Your place in society, it goes on to talk about there's neither slave nor free, nor male or female, Jew or Gentile. We are all one. You have a place in society. You have brothers and sisters in Christ to be there with you to walk you through the trials of life. And you have your place in history in the line of Abraham. To look back and you look back at what God has done throughout history and go, I have a part in that. I have a place in that. It's not just about this little speck, Robbie, but it's about a bigger picture of what God's doing. So your place in eternity, your place in society, and your place in history is secure. So live as the adopted son or daughter that you really are. Let me pray. God, I thank you so much for today. God, I am so grateful for how you love us. I'm so grateful that we have the opportunity here on this side of heaven to know you. God, that you can take a passage like this and show us how we are loved beyond our wildest dreams. Show us how you sought after us, that you didn't just leave us under the law, you came, you lived under the law with us, and you raised us up to not only be a son, but to be an heir. So God, thank you for your word. I pray that it speaks to our hearts today. It's in Jesus' mighty and awesome name we pray. Amen.